Did you know that there are over 3.2 million podcasts in the world? It seems like everybody these days has a podcast. But did you also know that 90% of those podcasts fail to make it to 20 episodes? There are various reasons for these failures, but one reason is that people don't know what they're doing. Shocking, right? As it turns out, the same reason why people don't operate on themselves also applies to podcast success. You want to talk to someone who has had success launching and marketing podcasts. Somebody like Juliana Barbati. Juliana runs a podcast marketing and production agency, and their team takes care of everything for you, making this process a breeze. All their info is in the show notes. You can go to julianabarbati.com, tell them TGFB sent you, and get a discount when paying in Bitcoin. That's right. Juliana is a Bitcoiner. Her and her husband were actually Bitcoiners before they were Christians. And so it's been great for us to work with them. They basically came to us and said, hey, we'd love to help you guys, help TGFB grow. And so we'd love to kind of apply our services to you guys. So go ahead and support them. If you have a podcast you're working on or one that you'd like to start, go ahead and check them out. Now let's get to today's show. Hello and welcome to the Thank God for Bitcoin podcast. My name is Jordan Bush. And today I'm joined again by Joshua Hawthorne.
What's up, Jordan?
And Nate Schultz. Hey, guys, thank you for joining us. Nate and Joshua, we're going to jump right in. Nate and Joshua are two of the most interesting and people who love the Lord, but people, some of the most interesting people I know. So what we're going to do, what we're here for today is to kind of talk about the project you guys have been working on for, has it been 3 years now? Yeah, it's been in an informal, behind the scenes basis. Hopefully it'll be becoming more public soon. But that project has been to introduce Bitcoin to the missionary world, which again, if you just stumbled upon this video, it might sound like the most absurd thing you've ever heard of. But it's actually not. So I want you guys to introduce kind of the project and why it's not as ridiculous as it might sound on the surface.
Yeah, sure. I'll get us rolling. And some of the things I miss. So Bitcoin solves for broken money. Mm-hmm. And whether you realize it or not, money is broken everywhere. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the farther you get away from the US dollar, the more broken it gets. Mm-hmm. And so when I went on my own personal journey of studying Bitcoin, of understanding its use cases, I came at it from a global perspective because that's what I work in, and both locally where I live, I work with refugees. I do networking and training and equipping with missionaries that work overseas. And there's just like, I'm looking at it through that lens and just all of these light bulbs are going on and just seeing, wow, there's such significant potential. Hmm. And you talk about this often, this issue of, if you're not sick, you don't appreciate the cure, mm-hmm. right? And so, but so many people globally do appreciate it and do see it. So I began to see it. My friend Nate, who we worked together on some mission projects, mm-hmm. I began sharing with him. Originally, we nerded out over like value investing and stock picking and things. I heard he's interested in the finance. He's a pretty sophisticated guy. And I'm like, hey, check out this Bitcoin thing. And like most people, it takes like multiple touches. And he's just like, just got it. He's like,
it's elegant. It's an elegant system. The way you were describing it was like, whoa, okay, I didn't understand that about this. And I just needed a couple key questions answered. And I was in, man. It was good.
Yeah. So they were all like, oh, okay, we're ready. We're like little rabid honey badgers ready to go to this large missions gathering of like maybe 800 to 1,000 mission leaders and executives. And we're like, we're going to go find all of our mission leaders that are working on Bitcoin and are using it to discover solutions to these issues with money, cross-border payments, and dealing with inflation and
how can we
development. Oh, we're going to go find her.
And how are we going to find them, Ash? How are we going to get them together?
So then we were just reminded on this trip, a funny story where a mutual friend of both Nate and I knew this guy, Eric Hirschman, And our claim to fame is we knew Eric Hirsten before any Bitcoiners knew him. Before he was in Bitcoin, he was he grew up as a missionary kid, but also he was in technology in East Africa. And so a missionary connection that we have from Africa, he said, oh, you should meet this guy, Eric. He's into Bitcoin.
And by the way, he's one of the keynote speakers at this conference.
Yeah. So he was speaking from a tech innovator's perspective to all these missions people. You want to tell a story of how we met up with Eric and share about Bitcoin?
So we got this opportunity to chat with him but just before his message, before he got up there, and we were proposing this idea of, hey, we need to find all the people in the room and hey, would you by any chance be willing while you're up on stage to just point at us and say, hey, anybody that's interested in Bitcoin and missions, go talk to these guys. And he said, yeah, I could do that, no problem.
How long ago was this?
So this is like 3 years ago.
3 years ago, okay.
And so he does it. It was a little bit late. He was the last speaker, and it kind of got announced that it was finished, and then people were starting to get up to leave and stuff. But he wound up saying it at the last minute. And so we were expecting there was 850 people in the room. And we had this, you know, one guy that had some kind of a financial interest in it, that he was a Bitcoin holder himself, and one lady that wanted to, she had a couple of questions, and that was it. I mean, there wasn't anybody that was serious about it at all. Like you say, it was crickets, pretty much.
Total crickets. But then we got to hang out with Eric for like 3 hours evening, and just talk about ideas and brainstorm. And he's always come from the business perspective. Yeah. And so for him, it was honestly like news. Oh, yeah, what would Bitcoin work with some of this nonprofit and ministry work? And he was just thinking about doing Gridless too at the same time. That hadn't been started yet. And so it was just a neat connection, but it was a revelation to offer. There's a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And then we,
he wanted us to start a finance system. Like you could start your
own bank or something, right?
Yeah. And it shouldn't be that hard. You probably just need to raise $1 million.
Yeah. He's a big thinker. So then a year later at that same huge Missions Network conference, right? We go early for another event that we're a part of. And then there's like a hurricane coming through.
Yeah.
Now, this guy's hardcore. He's like, I'm staying. Thinking to her, I had an out. I had another gathering I could go to. I got my flights switched up. I didn't want to get stuck in Orlando during this gnarly
Hurricane Ian, something like that.
One of the big one was. And so I leave last minute. Nate sticks around for the event, and then you meet another dude. He might not want to get doxxed, so let's not say his name.
Yeah,
but you meet another guy, and what happened then?
So we were talking about a different topic. It was about unengaged Muslim people groups and how we can find a way to, you know, connect with all of them around the world. And in the conversation, he just seemed like he was a finance guy, and he seemed like, okay. I go, hey, would you by any chance, I'm going to ask a really crazy question, but would you by any chance be connected with Bitcoin or interested in Bitcoin in it? Or if his boss is sitting there with him, and he rolls his eyes. He goes, oh no, we're going to get started on this again.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a really good connection where there was a lot of interest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we hang out at the event in LA, and we come out of it saying, okay, we're going to build something, but we're going to build it for the innovative thinkers that are already ready for it, that are already primed for it.
Yeah, the innovative thinkers within the missions world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we've gotten this. Wait, what can you just articulate? Because again, there's some people, this sounds insane. So what are some of the ways in which, what are some of the problems that you guys were sitting there thinking that Bitcoin can potentially solve?
Man, so cross-border payments is one that's huge.
Okay.
And so there is a lot of money flow that goes around in mobilizing and funding and in empowering ministry globally. And particularly in areas where where the church is more underground, mm-hmm. where the governing of authorities don't like that there's people following Jesus, the challenge to their authoritarian government, or the challenge to their state religion, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so access to cross-border payments that can't be censored, mm-hmm. and are more vulnerable to monitor, and all these things. Like, there's just a lot of this one piece that has a ton of potential.
Okay.
And actually, as we kind of get around to our story, we'll definitely get to a lot of these, what we call prototypes, mm-hmm. of possible solutions that there were either ourselves or others, yeah. are trying to implement. But basically, that idea is, going back to, as we're at this conference, we're like, let's find the willing people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come a year ago, January, we hear about this innovation grant with the same conference where we were trying to find the Bitcoiners, couldn't find them.
For innovation is the grant, yeah. is giving for innovative practices, new types of ways of engaging in missions, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're thinking, what's going to be, I mean, that's going to be very out there, innovating in Bitcoin for mm-hmm. missions. So, hey, we haven't actually written anything down. Maybe this, I don't know if we'll get the grant, but this is at least a good opportunity for us to kind of document what mm-hmm. our thinking is and how would we plan to test this? And so we started to think, I think one of the really cool things we could do, because we don't want to just waste our time on people who aren't interested, let's find the locations around the world where something's already happening.
Yeah, where there's people on the ground who are already using Bitcoin. Yeah,
it's already momentum. And let's gather other people who have a similar situation to what their solution is and get them there, get some missions practitioners who need to practice this stuff, and also get some technologists that could help train or help provide the resources that are active in Bitcoin, that all the qualities of Bitcoin, how they could apply them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put us all together in that location. We'll get a tour of the operation that's happening there, but then we'll also conduct something we call a design sprint. It, mm-hmm. it focuses on human-centered design practices.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically means that we're empathetically looking at the needs from the focal point of the people on the ground,
mm-hmm.
and then designing new solutions for their problems. And so that's what we wrote up our proposal, and you want to continue talking about what happened after that?
Yeah, I actually never applied for a grant before. Did you apply for a grant before?
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah. My organization gives grants all the time, but I had never actually applied for a grant.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like little dumb grants in college and stuff. Yeah.
Well, I got financial aid when I went to college.
Yeah.
Fake it till you make it.
No, I'm talking about like redesigning the TV lounge. I was the finance guy in my dorm, right?
Yeah. That's
what. Yeah. We're learning a lot of new things.
I know it.
Okay, so you apply for the grant.
Okay, we're going to. And we got the funding to do three on-location design labs. And so this goes back to your question about what are some mm-hmm. of those use cases. And so we identified, El Zante in El Salvador, and mm-hmm. worked with Michael Peterson at Bitcoin Beach, right? And a lot of people don't know his history. He's actually there originally to serve and as a follower of Christ, mm-hmm. to do mission work there in El Salvador. And then through our relationship with Eric Hurstman, I kept up working mm-hmm. there. And knew about Gridless and knew about their vision, and so it was doing an event there to see all the potential for energy, mm-hmm. and using Bitcoin mining to bring power to off grid communities. And then finally, we have a connection in Lebanon, and Nate is having lived there mm-hmm. a while, and just in the news a lot of crazy videos of people taking guns and holding up banks to get their own money out because the banking system is broken. The the currency is hyperinflated. It's a failed state. Mm-hmm. And we found some believers there that are basically running their ministry on a Bitcoin standard. And using it to totally bypass the broken currency, using it to get money to church planters in the Middle East. And it's like, okay, we want to do that. See that in action and also bring essentially folks that are doing Kingdom of God, Great Commission work in those regions to see the project and learn and try out ideas. So that's what we got funded for. And then we did El Salvador in November. You joined us there. And then we just did Kenya in March. We had to postpone Lebanon because of the Gaza war, but we hope to do that in the next 9 months or so.
Yeah. So there's solutions that we came up with on these trips that are very practical for like circular economies or energy projects that incentivize new electricity in Africa based on Bitcoin mining. Crazy, right? But we also, that was what's materialized over the last year doing these trips. But before that ever happened, we had to, one of the things, we're going to go receive this award. The grant was given to us. So we better go back to this conference so that we can, we didn't know, are we going to be called up on stage and given a plaque or something? We didn't know. So we go to the event. 2 years previously we had been crickets. And when our project was announced on the stage, we didn't go up on the stage or anything, but they said, hey, this is one of the grant winners, this topic. And we were swamped by people all of a sudden. And I think it's because of the financial crisis that's starting to emerge around us and India and other countries not allowing transfers of funds to go into ministries anymore. There was just, we were swarmed with financial reps from different organizations that were asking, how do we get money? How do we transfer money there? How can we operate our ministries? We need to support our workers and we can't get money into them. So there was this emergence of new interest. And there's something about what's happening in our day that this is all coming to a head.
Yeah. I've seen the same thing, even just anecdotally. I mean, you said this was, how long ago was this conference that you guys went to?
Less than a year ago.
In September. So and then it was a year from there, you guys saw night and day difference. I mean, even then over the last few months, we've been having calls with missions organizations and other smaller nonprofits. And again, just that there's more and more interest and more willingness to even have the conversation than we've seen in the past. And it can be, when we first started out, again, it's so far removed from people, what people are normally, from what they're open to thinking about and from them connecting something that in their mind is this speculative investment vehicle. That's primarily how they're thinking about it, to considering this could be potentially a useful thing and a sane thing to use for missions is just not intuitive for a lot of people. But it's getting again, the Overton window, the narrative, is moving, is changing. And again, it's been cool, like, to see you guys on the front of that.
The TGFB podcast is brought to you by the TGFB 24 conference. Thank God for Bitcoin 2024 is happening July 24th and 25th in Nashville. This conference brings together some of the best minds in the church, the academy, and in Bitcoin to explore the biblical foundations and daily consequences of how money affects the incentives and outcomes of the world we live in. The name of the conference this year is Render to God, Stewardship, Dominion, and the Economics of Glory. We figured that an election year was the perfect time to examine the relationship between God, government, and money. We'll dive deep into what the Bible has to say about what money is, the role it plays in society, and why the principles governing money creation have such a huge and yet underappreciated effect on every aspect of our world. I'll be speaking alongside pastors and respected Christian figures like C.R. Wiley, Thomas Terry, Eric Hirschman, Glenn Sunshine, and many more. Tickets are limited, so use promo code TGFB24 to save 10% today before prices increase. You can also, for a limited time, if you would like to bring your wife with you, we would love for you to do that. We would love husbands to be able to bring their wives, and so we are offering 80% off tickets for wives who want to accompany their husbands. So that means you can get two tickets today for $300 by using promo code COUPLE at checkout at tgfb.com/store. Go ahead, run over and do that. We'd love to have husbands and wives together to talk about these very important topics. This is a one-of-a-kind community experience at the intersection of theology, technology, ethics, finance, and economics. We hope to see you there. Okay, back to the show.
Nate, I'll ask you, again, you have, we've talked about, I think it may have been last time, about your black book. Like, you've been in the ministry world forever. You know people from all over the missions world and have talked to, I mean, just all kind of different focuses from these missions organizations. What has been, I mean, when you talk to people, are there certain pushback that you get are there types of feedback that you get more commonly, or is it differ depending on people, or is there more, and you said there's more people reaching out to you now. Okay, what has been some of the feedback, the problems that you hear from people, or their pushback against the idea of using Bitcoin?
Oh, pushback. I think that most of the time it's just that the normal media misinformation about Bitcoin and how it's for criminals, or it's just a scheme it's like a Ponzi scheme to make money, or these kinds of things. And it's just, people haven't looked into it very much and they just kind of follow the narrative.
Sure.
But I'm also, you know, again, we're wanting to work with people who are interested in leaning in. Mm-hmm. So we don't spend a lot of time trying to convince people.
Sure.
But I mean, I will be very free about saying what I'm working on and are you interested, or even for finding folks to go, we're going to go to Africa, right? So mm-hmm. I know a lot of leaders from different organizations that have operations going on in Africa. So I just sent blanket, what was it, 82 emails I sent.
Now you'll be known by all of your contacts.
Yeah, that's right. And that's good, right? That's exactly what we want. We want to have a funnel for people, right?
Yep.
So you got the 82 people that you know have something going on in Africa. You send them an email and five or six write you back.
Yep.
And
then another probably five or six forward it to the one Bitcoin boy that they know.
Yeah.
Right. And then we have some people registering that were like, who is this person?
Yeah. Oh, I know this person that knows this person.
It was like, two or three different connections or points of separation for like, oh, wow, that's an amazing connection.
I mean, I just talked to a few weeks ago. I was trying to connect one of the projects that emerged from the El Zante trip. I wanted to connect a Salvadoran guy that we've been working with to another leader of an organization in Brazil. And so we finally got to the situation where we could put a Zoom meeting together for him. Mm-hmm. So I'm introducing him. And the idea was I was gonna connect this guy that's wanting to work in Bitcoin to a larger ministry sphere that he hadn't been connected to. Mm-hmm. It's just networking, really. It's not really to do with Bitcoin at all.
Yeah.
But it turns out that this leader is a country leader in Brazil for an organization. And he tells me in the same call, he says, oh, by the way, I'm getting promoted to become international director for my ministry, which is a big ministry.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I personally hold Bitcoin and I'm interested in figuring out how we can use Bitcoin in our global ministry.
Well,
we need to talk.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And it was previously invisible to me, you know? So you just start to discover this stuff.
Yeah, I think this is part of the problem. Again, is just people think that we're trying to baptize Bitcoin. Like we're trying, like that Bitcoin is a solution in search of a problem. Of, you know, like Bitcoin is this thing that's really over here. And then what we're trying to do, you know, we found an interest in it. And so we're trying to drag it into, against its will, kicking and screaming into the Christian world and the mission world. And the reality is the complete opposite of that is, you know, it's like there's real problems that you have, that you recognize are real problems. And Bitcoin actually fixes a number of those problems and very incredibly efficient ways. Like it does them in natural ways. I think another thing is just that another misconception is because we talk about Bitcoin more than the average person. Like we talk about Bitcoin a lot.
You think so?
Well, we just do. We just have these conversations. And I think part of the issue is that people think that because we get excited about these things that we're just like fanatics and we can't imagine that there's, can't imagine these things failing, or we can't imagine, and it just couldn't be farther from the truth. And I think that part of the reality for all three of us, as we've talked about these things, is we would rather not have to talk about Bitcoin. Like, we would rather talk about Jesus. We'd rather talk about, there's things that we would rather do. There's things that were more important to us than Bitcoin is. But because those things are touched by money, they're indirectly, like, Bitcoin basically enables those things to be more successful and for people to continue doing those things. And so I think that's one of the maybe misconceptions that people have, that I haven't heard this stated from people, but it might be just something that they're thinking. It's just like, this is a little bit upstream. It's like there's immediate solutions, and then there's systemic solutions. There's, you know, things that are farther upstream that aren't immediately intuitive necessarily.
Yeah.
But the reality is, and this is my experience as a missionary in Uruguay, is that with every year that goes by, okay, as every currency in the world gets devalued, as the governments create more and more money, the money that is donated to missions organizations and churches, and that is given with the intent of it being used for gospel ministry, accomplishes less and less with every single day that goes by.
Hmm.
Like, it does less and less. And so, you know, if this continues, it's not like, oh, this is a down year and then we're gonna have sane years to come. It's like, no, these things just speed up over time. Like, with the devalue, as currencies devalue, they get worth less quicker. And so having, you know, talking about Bitcoin and again, trying to help ministry leaders see this dynamic, also look at the historic reality. This is not, we're not, you know, trying to become prophets and talk about something that hasn't ever happened before. We're saying, no, this has actually happened many times all over the world. Over hundreds of years, there's been things like this that have happened. And so we're trying to be humble and submit to the witness of history and the witness of what's happened in the past, and not just live like things are going to be great forever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's actually a denial of history, and a denial of sowing and reaping, and a denial of the idea that actions have consequences. And so I think this is part of the challenge, but also part of what our conversations look like is again, trying to figure out, similar to talking to people about Jesus, is you're trying to figure out, all right, where is this person? You know, Jesus, he always answered the people who were in front of him. Like, he answered them, and sometimes in ways that make it difficult for us to immediately understand kind of what he's doing. But I think that's really important, is to, you want to figure out who is in front of you, where they're at. Are they, like, do they see some of these problems? Or are we just trying to show problems and they're not ready to see them yet? And then based on that diagnosis, then you figure out, okay, where do I begin? I think that's kind of the thing that we've all seen the need for. I guess, so as you guys were doing these things, kind of what are some of the things you guys have found, some solutions to these, you know, to some of the problems that you faced? Have you talk about some of those from El Salvador, some of the takeaways?
Yeah, I think we only got a little bit of time left.
Yeah.
Maybe we can kind of do some teasers.
Okay.
Of just throwing out, hey, there's this project,
there's this idea,
prototypes that are out there. And then this is very much an opt-in movement. Like we do a weekly call where people that are interested in the topics, they just come and contribute.
Yeah.
And a lot of these, we want to open source them so that they can be used and contextualized in different parts of the world. So if any of your listeners say, oh, I could work on that, or I'm interested in that, we'd love to chat more. So maybe I'll just throw out a couple that are top of my head, and then you throw out some others. We don't have to give all the details, but just put it
Just quick hitters.
So I'll share from Africa. Some of the big issues that came out, we realized that it's that upstream from just understanding Bitcoin is needed to just have economic training and wisdom to understand, like, okay, that's a loan shark. I'm not gonna go and take a high interest loan. Oh, this is like just basic savings and And so
you have to have that to build on up to the other stuff.
You don't have any of that framework, then Bitcoin won't make sense, or you'll get into Bitcoin and then you'll discover a scam coin and then you'll go off on the deep end that side. So the idea of simply providing financial equipping and training for like African national missionaries.
Yeah.
And we heard all these stories and testimonies of the challenges that these guys go through because of how poor they are and trying to fund their ministries. And so it's like, wow, okay, let's teach them about economics and money and personal finance. And then layer on top of that education about Bitcoin. And so that's one that is kind of a two-pronged attack. We're doing general financial education plus really practical Bitcoin education for an African context.
Yeah, especially for workers that are looking to go, to a neighboring country, for example, and want to figure out a way to provide for their families and also commit something to new to the community that will create impact. And another one would be the Bitcoin beach community, just reproducing that idea of a circular economy. You know, they've been so successful at that. And they're actually open that, Michael Peterson has got his white paper for anybody to duplicate. They can go and use it. They're even giving out grants right now to communities that would like to try this in the locations where it makes sense. So that's another great opportunity. And by circular community meaning, or circular economy meaning, is there a way to bypass the theft of the local currency because of money printing by just using Bitcoin? And Michael Peterson has talked so much about, he thought he was just, bringing better money, making some efficiency, helping develop the community a little bit. But there's been a metamorphosis of the paradigm shift of the community towards, away from fear and just consumerism that pervades to having just more openness and care for their community and just a future outlook. It's amazing. It's almost like an immediate effect of using Bitcoin.
Another one is a financial model for funding ministry. And so I've worked within my nonprofits, Variance Labs, to do more of an endowment structure and how Bitcoin fits into that. But almost like taking that idea and applying it to individual workers and ministries and how to save in Bitcoin so that they can tap into funding ministry and even long-term missionaries going overseas through Bitcoin savings. And so, that's another significant idea and model that we're building and is going to be prototyped through some work in El Salvador right now.
Yeah, I think the other thing one of the other things that just comes to mind is again, because like today, some of these money movement issues, like we can send money across the world today. Like any of these missionary organizations can send money directly to their workers today. The issue and the challenge for most of them today is finding some off ramps, and so ways where they can convert their Bitcoin into the local currency. And so that's another thing that we've just been looking on, just finding finding. It's like finding out where are these in most of these countries, almost every country you can think of, there are these small pockets of off ramps to the local fiat currencies. It's just a matter of finding them. And so some of them, in some countries, we've been able to find them and some we haven't yet. But this is something that we're, as time goes on, you're going to be able to find, do more research and be able to connect, find more people, network with more people and find the people you're looking for to solve some of these solutions.
It would be great to have a static list of all the different off-ramp places where you could go, right? And just hand that off to somebody. But that's not realistic because how the environment's changing all the time.
Correct.
So instead, you've got to teach a man to fish, right? Yeah. You got to say, this is how you go out and find those off-ramps and equip people. And it works the other way too. On the organizations that want to send money, for them it's the on ramps. Is how do we deal with regulations and our tax stuff? How would we integrate this into our donor base, into our our donation system? So that's not a small thing for overworked mission finance leaders to embark on, right? Yeah. So there's some obstacles.
I think. Another problem that we talked about is just, I mean, again, so you could try to figure out solutions to moving money across the world. The other thing is that you could just not have to move them. You could move a business over or something so that would be generating money so that you wouldn't even have to move in the first place. And so we didn't even get into Bitcoin mining and all the incredible solutions that, you know, or like problem solving that does. But I'll have to wait for another podcast episode because we're at the end of our time. Thank you guys for what you're doing. Thank you guys for your time. And again, we'll have you back and talk more about this on a future episode of the Thank God for Bitcoin podcast. So thank you guys for joining us and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for having us.
Our mission at TGFB is to help Christians understand and use Bitcoin for the glory of God and the good of people everywhere. We do this through podcasts, books, consulting services, and live events. We love giving away as much of our resources as possible, but we do have real overhead costs. And there are a number of easy ways that you can help us keep the lights on to continue our mission. First, if you're a Bitcoiner, you can listen to the podcast on the Fountain app and stream us sats in real time as you listen to the podcast. Every contribution makes a difference, no matter how small. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/TGFB to receive a number of special benefits available only to our Patreon supporters. If you find these conversations valuable, you can also help spread the word by sharing this episode, subscribing on YouTube, and leaving reviews on Apple and Spotify. Leaving us good reviews goes a long way toward ensuring that the algorithmic powers that be look favorably on our humble endeavors. And finally, engage with us on social media. Join the conversation so that we can build a strong community united around faith, freedom, and sound money. We mentioned the TGFB 24 conference on July 24th and 25th in Nashville. You can go grab your tickets at tgfb.com/store. And finally, go check out julianabarbati.com if you have questions about how to start or better your own podcast. We're grateful for your support, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Thank God for Bitcoin podcast.